This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Join the 94.9 Friday morning show with Leo. Now, every one of us has something we don't love about our bodies. With the constant media pressure in magazines, on TV and film to look good, both men and women are subjected to that perfect body. Now, my next guest is a mum of three. She used to loathe her body, but has turned her life around to enable her to love her body. She's written an amazing new inspirational new book all about her journey. Joining me on the line is Taryn Bromford. Welcome to Joy, Taryn.
Hi, how you going?
Let's get to know you a bit better, because looking back on your own childhood and your teenage years, when did you first begin to realise your body issues? Did you, having that flat stomach, having that those perfect thighs?
Well, I went through my teens and my 20s with a relatively positive body image.
Yeah.
I certainly wasn't immune to feeling occasionally like I was fat or my thighs didn't look good, or I went on diets. I did all that normal stuff. I'll say normal with inverted commas. You can't see my fingers, but I'm doing the inverted commas sign. And it was after I had my three children that I really, really started to lose how my body looked. And I thought that surgery was going to be the answer for me. And it worked out that it wasn't. I ended up having an epiphany. And it was, how am I going to teach my daughter, Michaela, to love her body if I can't love my body? And it sort of sent me down another road.
That's a good point, because, I mean, you've had three children, so automatically your body changes, and the pressure on women to drop the baby weight is huge, and under constant pressure from, you know, those in the public eye who just lose their weight in weeks, or the celebrities and things. As a woman, I can't imagine how hard it is, and the pressure on you, woman, for that to happen. It's just intense.
Yeah, it is intense. And so many women, whether you've had children or not, women are under so much pressure to conform to a certain ideal of beauty, a beauty standard or a health standard, that's been dictated by perhaps a company that wants to sell their lotion or potion. And I think this is what we really need to do as women, is to stop and reflect on who are sending these messages to us that we should bounce back to our old bodies after we have children. I mean, that doesn't make sense in itself, because we don't go backwards in life, we go forwards.
Exactly.
And even aging, I think it's the most absurd concept I've ever heard of, to defy and fight the lines on our face. If you've seen those ad campaigns, they're telling us to defy in something that is the natural evolution of being a human being. And when I look in the mirror, I say to myself, the lines on my face only serve to remind me that life is short and the bucket list is long. I don't want to buy into any of that. I'm comfortable in my own skin, and that's what I want for other women too.
We Australia's only gay lesbian radio station, and as a gay man, the pressure on us is also huge. Getting the perfect abs and the perfect pecs and the perfect arms to die for. I guess those smartphone apps like Tinder and Grindr and Scruff for the gay community, all those topless shots and perfect bodies, I think we forget that, you know, it's the superficial stuff does fade over time. I think people need to look beyond that.
Absolutely. And there's so much pressure. I mean, I've just done some recent research into young boys and the use of steroids and how it's just completely going off the scale because they're wanting to be super buff and look that way. But there's no one really championing the message, except for me, of course, and a few others, a small group of people, championing the message that you can be happy as you are in your own skin. You don't have to conform. And let's celebrate body diversity. One of my sayings is, my body is not an ornament, it is the vehicle to my dreams. And having interviewed and spoken to thousands of people around the world on the particular subject of body image and ask them this question: what do you think you'll be thinking about when you have your final days on this earth? And no one has ever responded, oh, my cellulite or my lack of bicep or my big bottom. Or no one's ever said that. So we actually all have access right now to have a healthy relationship with our body, and it comes from within. It doesn't, as I said earlier, it doesn't come from a lotion or a potion or a pill.
When I was a kid growing up, my PE teacher used to call me Powder Puff because I was a bit overweight, a bit of puppy fat, and that really hurt for my teacher. You know what I mean?
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I mean, I speak to lots of parents. I run a seminar called Developing Daughters, Supporting Sons. And we talk about how crucial it is to make sure the conversation at home has no body shaming or no fat shaming, no name calling about you, any body shape or type. Because those things people take right through life. I know someone that, a friend of a friend who was commented by her mum for having large hands, and she never wanted to go on in her life and hold hands with her boyfriend because she was paranoid about her hands. I mean, just these little things, they really do make a difference. And I think we really need to be responsible for how we talk to our daughters and sons, but also children and fellow, you know, human beings and friends as well.
You've written this amazing book, Empowering People to Embrace Their Bodies. Instead of loathing what we have, we need to embrace what we have. And take us through the process in deciding to write this book and getting the publisher and getting it off the ground.
Well, the motivation for writing the book, just like I did with the documentary, making a documentary and funding that, was because I would often do media interviews, and on TV it's a quick 4 or 5 minutes. And it was never enough time to tell and share everything I wanted to share. So I thought, what's a really good platform to get my story out and my message behind the body image movement? And a book is such a great way. It's something someone can hold, they can take with them, they can digest the words in their own time. And I penned 70,000 words, even though I am a high school dropout. And English was my worst subject.
That was great.
And that's right. I just think you can do anything, right? Look, I've had some really, really, really delightful feedback from people, and the penny is dropping. And they're saying, oh, okay, so I live in a body that I hate right now, but there is a chance that I could love my body. I wonder how that would feel. And firsthand, I cannot tell you how joyous life is when you love your body unconditionally.
Exactly right. And in your bio, I noticed that social media is also a really strong part of people's lives these days. Young kids, people growing up, even adults, you know, get trolled on these, on Twitter and Facebook. You know, I remember reading an article about a young girl who was going on a date with a guy from One Direction, and she got trolled and death threats from these crazy fans. Of course, the fabulous Charlotte Dawson, we lost her due to these awful trolls on social media. How have you coped yourself from that point of view? I guess embracing social media for your work, but also, you know, you obviously must get some hateful comments as well. We all do.
Yeah, I call those people nasty pants.
Yeah.
Because that's just what they wear, these nasty pants. And look, in the beginning, because I grew up, I was really bullied in school.
Me
and,
too.
And it was just, yeah, horrendous, right? Horrible.
Oh, yeah.
And I took that with me throughout all my life, and it affected me in my 20s and in my 30s. And then, so when the before and after photograph, which I put on social media, it had, 3.5 million likes or something. It went crazy and went really viral around the world. It was a photograph of me before, which was when I was doing the bodybuilding competition, and it was afterwards me sitting down, covered, nude, but you couldn't see anything. And it was my non-traditional before and after photograph. So I flipped the normal before and after on its head. Anyway, I put that on social media, and the trolls, oh my goodness, they really came out to play and sort of said horrible things like, oh, you're a fat pig, that's disgusting, put it away, what a bad role model for your children you are, you're promoting obesity.
I mean,
I'm giving you the PG version too. I mean, really, they can be so horrible, these people. And at first I wanted to fight because I learned from being bullied that I would, and I vowed to myself when I my 30s, that I would never sit on the sidelines again and I would stand up for myself. So I really, really wanted to give them a piece of my mind, but you just can't do that with trolls. You can't, because it fuels their fire and it's exactly what they're looking for. When you read the book, there's a section in the book that I talk about the trolls, and it's page 97. And I've allowed myself in writing this book to write down what I would have liked to have said. And there's a bit of an F word and there's a bit of a this. It's quite a funny part of the book I've heard from other people. But, yeah, I guess the other thing is I don't want to give the trolls my energy. I've got a really positive, happy vibe and I don't want them to steal any of that from me. So I guess I have broad shoulders for a reason.
The cover of the book is... You look gorgeous, I'm just saying, because it's such a... The cover is so eye-catching. When you're looking at it in a bookstore, it just... You see it and just like, oh my God, what is this book? She's embraced, you know. It's a great cover. Now, also your documentary, you've I read the foreword in your book from Ricky Lake. Of course, she was a successful talk show host. She's an actress on TV and film. And also you've got some big names endorsing the book and the documentary from Ashton Kutcher and Rosie O'Donnell as well, which is huge. How did those people come on board?
Oh, it was very funny. In fact, I remember when the Ashton Kutcher thing, he just came across the trailer for the documentary and he blogged about it. But I remember it was a Sunday morning and when I wake up, the US have been awake and the first thing I do is check my phone. And I wake up on this Sunday morning and there was a gazillion messages. And I'm thinking, and there was a few, Ashton Kutcher, Ashton Kutcher, Ashton Kutcher. And I thought, what's going on? And I read and I said, Ashton wrote, this is good for the world. And he had a photograph of me and then went on to blog about what I'm doing. So my husband's lying next to me. So I'm madly slapping him, trying to wake him up, saying, look at me, Ashton Kutcher. I've still got it, honey. I've still got it. And he's like, shut up, Tom, go back to sleep. I mean, having some really big names like that endorse, and Rosie O'Donnell, I mean, gosh, I love her. We've had some dialogue, you know, from the public forum. She's such a strong voice. And it's been really helpful for the campaign. And I'm very grateful that they came out and contributed not only funds to the documentary, the Kickstarter campaign, but also they supported it, you know, through Twitter and social media. And I can't wait to meet them in person.
Taryn, the book is out. Tell us about the documentary. How's that coming along?
It's great. I've just been travelling lots in the US and Canada and just got back from the Dominican Republic and heading back to the States again next month. There are so many people around the world that I want to extract their goodness from. Locally, just last week I was with Taria Pitt, the woman who was burned in the fire. She just has such a remarkable story. So I'm extracting all the goodness from these people and rolling it up into a documentary on body image. And my goal is for people to walk out of the cinema after seeing this documentary and not just saying, that was a really great, moving documentary, but also saying, this is how I'm going to create change in my own life or in my own community. And for me, it's a really big undertaking, wanting to create global change, but that's exactly what I'm going to do.
Good on you, Taryn. So fantastic message for, I guess, for young people especially as well, but also for people my age. I'm 41 next month, so, you know, I don't have the, you know, rock hard abs or the perfect pecs, but, you know, I just do my thing and, you know, whatever.
Absolutely. You know what? We're here for a good time. This is the discovery. When I had the perfect body, I thought it would make me really happy. And I thought I had reached, you know, the pot of gold. And it didn't. It just didn't change anything for me. And learning to love my body from the inside out and living my life for and accomplishing things and achieving things and doing things and experiencing things, that's what it's about. Not how big my thighs are or my thigh gap or how tight my buns are.
Exactly right. Embrace, the story from body loathing to body lover from Taryn Brumford, is available in stores now from all good bookstores. Look out for the documentary soon. Taryn, when's that going to be released?
Next year. We're going to release it next year.
Oh, that should be
early next year.
Fantastic. Yep. Thank you so much for joining me this morning on Joy 94.9.
My pleasure. Lovely to connect with you.
You too. And best of luck for the book. And we can't wait to see that documentary next year.
Thank you.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.